what usually happens when I get up to speak. Everybody leaves. But I'm not that offended. Maybe a little. First of all, I wanted to acknowledge the tremendous hospitality that was offered to Jess and myself when I came here during the break. So many people. It was just incredible. Although they all said the same thing. They invited us to supper. They said that we could spend the night. And then they said we'd have our own snow shovel. You don't think they had an ulterior motive or anything, do you? Just what we need is more snow. I tell you, can the spring be far away? During one of Alexander the Great's military campaigns, he met a beggar by the roadside. The shabbily dressed, hungry man asked for alms from the great monarch as the monarch passed by. Alexander surprised those traveling with him when he threw the man several gold coins. Afterward, one of them asked the king about the incident. "Sir, copper coins would adequately meet a beggar's need. Why give him gold?" The king responded in royal fashion, "Copper coins would suit a beggar's need, but gold coins suit Alexander's giving." Interesting. This morning, we're going to look at a man's vision. We're going to look at his answer from God and the man's response to it. The man is David, King David, and his vision is his desire to build a temple, which would eventually be built by his son, but it was his desire to do it, a dwelling place for the Lord. Just before the events of our story, which is in 1 Samuel 7, and we'll read it as we go through the lesson this morning, but just before the events of our story, King David brought the Ark of the Covenant to Mount Zion and put it in a special tent on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. Now keep in mind that the Ark is here, the rest of the tabernacle is here in Gibeon. Interesting, because as we read about the tabernacle and it's all set up, the Ark is in the most holy place, that back part of the tent that was constructed during the time of Moses at Sinai. Now, there's an interesting passage that may have motivated David. It's Moses speaking in Deuteronomy 12, two verses, 10 and 11, and I'll read them. "But you will cross the Jordan and settle in the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. And he will give you rest from all your enemies around you so that you will live in safety. Then to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, there you are to bring everything I command you, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, and all the choice possessions you have vowed to the Lord." We're going to look at that vision, as I said today, and see how God responded to it, and then how David responded to what God said. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7, and as I say, we'll do a verse or two at a time, or three or four, as we go, rather than just read the whole chapter. Let's start with 2 Samuel chapter 7, just verse 2. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 2. "Here I am, living in a palace of cedar," David writes, "while the Ark of God remains in a tent." David decided to do something for the Lord during a time of rest. If you jump to the next chapter, chapter 8, you see all of his battles going on. And most scholars seem to feel that this happens after. Chapter 7 really happens after chapter 8. But be that as it may, God has given rest to David. David has a palace And inside that palace, the walls are cedar. It's a beautiful place. And David is beginning to think a little bit about the ark, which is in a tent that he set up on Mount Zion. And he focused on what he could do for the Lord in obedience to that scripture in Deuteronomy 12. He wanted to build that temple, that place where God could dwell. Do you ever spend time brainstorming about things you could do for the Lord? Really? We are very reactive. We're going to pray for such and such. Oh, there's a crisis there. We'll pray about that. Oh, there's a need here, and we'll deal with that. What would you like to do that would bring people to Christ? What would you like to do to strengthen other believers? What would you like to do to glorify your God? The Lord says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first of all sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. How creative we are about mundane things in life. Let me tell you about our vacation. We're planning on going down to Florida. We're going to have a wonderful time. We have a cottage all rented, and we know some people there. We're going to go visit them. The first night we'll see this person and then that. I just did a lot of thinking about what I wanted to do for my vacation. Our business, some of you own your own business. It's on your mind all the time. You want to expand. A friend of ours has a jewelry store, and he just took the back area to build a new office for himself and give himself more floor space to sell jewelry. Our hobbies. Oh, I've collected this, I've collected that, and if I can get a chance, I'm going to pay the money and get that other thing. Planning, planning, planning. We do it so much. Are we brainstorming about the things we can do for the Lord? Strengthening other believers, winning the people to Christ, glorifying God. And check this out. You'll find that God says no to David's vision. But you know, it's okay. Listen to what David's son Solomon said. My father David had it in his heart to build a temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, because it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well to have this in your heart. So even though David didn't get to build the temple, he was blessed and pleased God just for having the idea. What are your ideas? We tend to just go with the flow. God calls us to think, to plan under his leadership and under his direction and with other believers as well. Something else. David spent a lot to build his home, his palace. Now he's thinking, I'm going to build this very, very large and very, very expensive temple. And in his mind, he wanted to do it. But that would mean depriving himself of some things. Do we plan to serve the Lord at our own expense? Well, you know, more for the Lord, less for my hobby. More for the Lord, less for my vacation. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Spend time on God's efforts above your own. But don't forget to brainstorm. We have quiet times with the Lord. We take some time to read scripture and to pray. Dream dreams. Dream dreams. Look at verse 3. Nathan is there. Nathan's the prophet. He's replaced a prophet by the name of Gad, and he is David's right-hand spiritual counselor. He would have to confront David at the whole Bathsheba incident and the sin that David committed. That's later. But here, he's hanging out with David in the palace. And David mentions what he just said. I have this vision. I want to do this. And he doesn't go into specifics. But Nathan says, whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you. He could see that God was active in David's life. Do you ever unquestioningly agree with a brother or sister who wants to do something for the Lord without asking any questions? Oh, sure, go ahead, brother, do it. That's fine. I'm sure God's going to be with you. We are in a position as brothers and sisters in Christ to support and help each other. And sometimes that means offering some spiritual advice and guidance. Nathan said, go to it. Green light, do it. Listen to Moses' father-in-law. What you are doing, he told Moses, is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You can't handle it alone. Listen now to me and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. That's a lot of nerve. Moses' father-in-law telling that to him, but he did it to help. Besides the normal pleasantries of how was your week? How's work? See the game. Besides that, we can talk about the things that we'd like to do for the Lord. It doesn't have to be a grand scheme, but it can be something little that, you know, I have this plan. I'd really like to do this. I'd like to give out 100 tracts by the end of this week. I don't know how. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but here's my thought. And you as a brother in Christ can encourage that person. At the very least, you can pray for them and with them so that they can be sure this is what the Lord wants. Check out verses 5-7. Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Now you see, Nathan went home and the Lord made his will clear to Nathan to tell David. Now, the Lord loves David. He calls him my servant. Listen, are you the one to build a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of these rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, why have you not built me a house of cedar? This story is also recounted in 1 Chronicles 17. So you can see kind of almost a mirror image. But there it's more directly stated, no, I don't want you to build this temple for me. I don't. How do you feel when God says no? These are my plans. This is the solution. I've been living close to you. How can you say no? And sometimes you've brainstormed and come up with something that you can do specifically for the Lord. And God says no. Do you get discouraged? Well, if that's what he's going to say, I'm not going to do anything. That's real mature. Paul had some sort of illness. Some have said it was an eye disease. We're not sure what it was. But he prayed about it, and he prayed about it, and he prayed about it. And God said no. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Sometimes God says no, and it's okay. What do we know? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. David would accept the no. And at this point in his career, probably in his 30s, he could have been full of himself. He could have said, but I'm the king and I want to do it. And sometimes we get full of ourselves. We know better than God, don't we? We're a little smarter than he is. But David accepted it. And what did David do? David spent the rest of his life accumulating all of the supplies that would be needed to build the temple. He knew exactly how it was going to be. But he didn't build it because God said no. God would have Solomon, his son, do it. How terrific to turn a no into something very positive. Maybe God wants someone else to do it. Maybe God wants someone to catch the vision that you have and serve the Lord. Is it difficult for you to realize that the Lord makes the decisions concerning his work and its timing? The temple was going to be built just later. The temple was going to be built, but by somebody else. God has his own plan. If anything we learn in our Christian lives is follow God's instructions. Pardon the expression, stupid. Because that's what I feel I don't do. Isaiah 30 verse 1 says, woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin. Christian, that's a warning to us too. Check it out with God. In our fellowship, we're studying the life of David. And you'll see that many times it will say that David inquired of the Lord. And many times it will say he didn't. And when he didn't, he got in trouble. And that's the advice for us. Chuck Swindoll writes in his book, David, a Man of Passion and Destiny, I see two simple truths in all this. First, when God says no, it means he has a better way and he expects me to support it. Second, my very best reaction is cooperation and humility. He doesn't call everyone to build the temple, but he does call everyone to be faithful and obedient. A reminder to us. So David has heard. David had the vision. David was excited about it. Nathan gave him a green light initially, but now the Lord has spoken to Nathan and the message is being passed back to David, and David accepts the no graciously. Look down at verse 8. We'll read down from 8 to 11. Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great like the names of the greatest men of the earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. No matter how long you've lived, God has been there from the start. From the time that you trusted Christ and even before, he's looked after you. And as you've trusted him, he's led you. The Lord never left you. Proverbs 16:9 says, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And hasn't that been true? We only get in trouble when we get off the path. Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps. But we don't learn that too well, do we? I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I had an unusual thought. I'll pass it on. This seemed to be really early David. Took you from the pasture, just sort of hanging out, and from following the flock. My understanding of shepherds is they lead the flock. So poor David may have been a little new at it, and the sheep moved and he followed. But the Lord was there. I have been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off all your enemies from before you. Saul chasing him, wanting to kill him, and other enemies that came after. Note, too, that God blessed Israel. He said, you're not going to be persecuted. I'm going to give you a place to live. Israel, been hated and hounded over the years, they will have a blessing. This is part of what's called the Davidic covenant, David's covenant, that God made with him. He promised him a dynasty. Solomon would follow. There would be other kings, culminating in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way. Promised him that the children of Israel are indeed blessed by God and would be favored and granted a safe place to live one day. Part of this covenant. But thinking of Israel, we think of us as a body of believers. God has blessed his church over the years. He's blessed this fellowship. When we gathered to pray in the room by the organ, one of the brothers mentioned how many years have gone by that we've been here, that this fellowship has existed. God blessed. Matthew 28:20, as surely as I am with you always to the very end of the age. No, never alone. And what about the future? Israel would have a future and will. David's line would continue from Solomon on through the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal King. But we have a future too. Do we think about it? 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Pretty cool, huh? If we see what Hollywood does today, TV and movies, and how they can special effect you to death, this will be the real thing. And it's all for us. What a future we have in Christ. Let's move on. Down to verse 12. 12 to 17. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. You see the word house mentioned here. It's the same Hebrew word that's repeated over and over again, but it applies to different things. The house of David is his dynasty, his kingship. The house he wants to build that Solomon will build is also called a house. How wonderful that David gets this review. But the mention here is your days, when your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up offspring to succeed you who will come from your own body, and I will establish your kingdom. you know God wants to bless your children? What are you doing to help them succeed you? Young men, young women, or even young children. God wants to bless your children and use them. Because for David, he saw that, yes, my life will end. I'm kind of early on in the game being king, but eventually it will be over. I'm going to work with Solomon, and he's going to succeed me. Who's going to succeed you? Well, I don't have any children, or my children are grown. What about those people you're mentoring, you're trying to help grow in the faith? You have a responsibility to train them, to have them succeed you. You spend time praying for your children? What about those you mentor, so that they will be saved and serve the Lord in this place, perhaps? Oh, dear brother, they're not like me. I mean, I know the word so well, and they just don't seem to get it. Wait a minute, buddy. The time will come when you're going to pass from the scene. Pray for them. Help them learn. Introduce them to the God you love, who first loved you. Proverbs 22:6, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Really? Yes. The word of God. What about Paul and Timothy? There was such a beautiful relationship, a father and a spiritual son. Philippians 2:22, but you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. Do some training. When I think of my early days in Yonkers, I think of several brothers who took time on a Friday night to teach us how to pray, how to song lead, how to speak. We used Emmaus courses, and each of us had a time. We stood up at the platform and we spoke. Or we led the singing, and even if we didn't sing that well, we did that. People who mentored me. So I'm here. What am I doing? Will there be people to succeed me and you? As the song says, we need to spend time thinking about tomorrow. All right, quickly on verse 18. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? And if this were not enough in your sight, O sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. Is this your usual way of dealing with man, O sovereign Lord? What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O sovereign Lord. For the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made it known to your servant. How great you are, O sovereign Lord. There is no one like you, and there is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears. What a fantastic prayer. It's okay to pray it if you want to sometimes when you're alone with the Lord. One of my favorite passages. And I love the phrase, then King David went in and sat before the Lord. Now, it's interesting that the word, the Old Testament scholars Kyle and DeLeish questioned that the word is actually sat, but every translation I looked at had sat in it, so I'm sure that's a part of it. They say that it also can mean remains or tarries. Now, remember, where did David go? He went to Mount Zion. And there the Ark of the Covenant was, in that tent. And he went into the tent, and he sat before the Lord. He didn't rush. He tarried. He remained there for a time, alone, sitting before the Lord. I like to think of that as I get and have a quiet time, and I sit down in the living room or at a desk, just sitting before the Lord. God's Word translation of 2 Samuel 7:18 reads, King David went into the tent and sat in front of the Lord. Who am I, Almighty Lord, he asked, and why is my house so important that you have brought me this far? When you spend time in the Lord's presence, do you take stock of your life? Not just the bad things that have gone on, but all the things that God has done for you. His blessings. The old song, count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. This is what David did. And David could have taken it as a slap in the face. God said no. I had this great idea and God said no. And I don't even want to sit with the Lord. But he was just so overwhelmed because God showed him the better way. It's no for you in this, but I'm going to bless you tremendously in your life and Solomon's. Do you realize what God is planning for you? The Living Bible version of Romans 12:12, first part of it is, be glad for all God is planning for you. Take time when you're sitting before the Lord. Jacob said, I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two groups. God's done that for you. Different scale, different way, but he's done it for you. In his book on David, The Making of a Man of God, Alan Redpath writes, how seldom does God find any of his children sitting before him like that? How faint and cold is our love? Perhaps some of you have never even spent a single hour sitting before the Lord in reflection upon his goodness, especially at a time when he said no. God's refusal to David was accompanied by a reminder of his goodness that made David speechless. And there's a phrase in there that just kind of zips on by, but let me draw attention to it. David mentions that God knows him. What more can David say to you? Verse 20, for you know your servant, O sovereign Lord. And you know what? God knows me, and God knows you. But he's done all this stuff for us anyway. You remember at the start, when Samuel was making the decision as to which of the brothers would be the future king, and David would eventually be chosen when he was brought from the fields. But the Lord said to Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:7, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And God has looked at your heart, and he loves you. Fantastic. The last portion, beginning in verse 23. And who is like your people Israel, David continues in his prayer, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself and to make a name for himself and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods from before your people who you redeemed from Egypt. You have established your people Israel as your very own forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house. Do as you promised, so that your name will be great forever. Then men will say, the Lord Almighty God is over Israel, and the house of your servant David will be established before you. O Lord Almighty God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you. So your servant has found courage to offer you this prayer. O sovereign Lord, you are God. Your words are trustworthy, and you have promised these good things to your servant. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, O sovereign Lord, have spoken, and with your blessing, the house of your servant will be blessed forever. Just the last thought that he mentions, and he mentions it in terms of Israel, besides all that's here in the passage, which we don't have time to look at. And who is like your people Israel? He says, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself and to make a name for himself and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods from before your people whom you redeemed from Egypt. Like that old song, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Do you know we as individual believers and part of this fellowship were redeemed, bought back. We were slaves to sin and Satan, and we were redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He offered himself as the Lamb of God. He took our punishment. The Father has redeemed you through the sacrifice of his Son. May we always remember to include the Lord's Supper in our weekly activity. Remember him in the bread and the cup till he come, and he will. Revelation 5, 9 to 10 speaks of our redemption. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Fantastic. That should be part of our prayer as well. So what do we have here? We have David's vision. Think again about brainstorming things you can do for the Lord. Little things, maybe a little bigger. What can you do? Or someone might catch the fire with you and want to do something for the Lord. Think about that. Realize that you will not always be here. Maybe you'll just move, or maybe you move to be with the Lord. But what you have here is a reminder to mentor, pray for, and raise up your children to be the future for you. The Lord calls us to seek his face, to have that vision, but to always be sensitive to what he wants. Inquire of the Lord. Remember that old phrase, inquire of the Lord. Check in with him and see if it seems good to him to do one thing or the other. The other side of the coin is if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm not into religion, then think about your future. Because one of these days you're going to call out and say, I've done so many great religious things. Will you accept me, God the Father? Will you? And his answer will be no. Depart from me. I never knew you. That's scary. Will this all end? Will the movie end? Yes, it will. And that's when you will have to face eternity. Don't get that no answer. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, now is the time to receive him. What do I do? When we pray, just say, Lord, I know you died for me. You died to be the one who would be my substitute and pay for my sin. I want all my sin on you. I want to be saved and live a life that would honor you. That's all you do. God's Spirit will come to indwell you. You'll see some changes in your life. You'll begin to grow, and the believers here can help you. But don't get that no answer. Depart from me. I never knew you. Don't let that happen to you. Let's close our time in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, how we thank you for David's vision. It did come to pass, but not by David. Your plan, your way, Thank you for David's humility in accepting it. Thank you for your plan and working in his life and his protection of him. Thank you for your love for him. Thank you for allowing him to submit to you and to follow your leadership. And for that wonderful prayer as he sat before you. Oh, sovereign Lord, oh, sovereign Lord. Oh, we hear it so many times. We thank you for that. And you know us, Father. There's no pretense. We may not think we look bad. Maybe we think we look pretty good. But you can see our hearts. And Father, we thank you that in spite of ourselves and the stupidities of our lives, you've blessed us and led us. Help us to honor you, to mentor and to encourage those of our young to take their places with us. And Father, if any here know not Christ, oh Father, may they be afraid of that word. May they not be sinners left in the hands of an angry God. May they never hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Father, may your answer be yes. May they accept Jesus Christ as Savior. They say yes, and you say yes. Dismiss us with your blessing. We pray for help and strength for the storm, whatever nature it might be. If it be your will, mitigate it. Get us through it. And Lord, let us be active in serving you. Dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.